for the first time since I started doing this show in November of 1993, I can say the Detroit Lions are in the NFC title game, back end of Championship Sunday at the Niners. Our guest is the host of Believe in Lions on the Fabulous Believe Network on Twitter. Follow along. Use at JAVANAGH97. We got Jack Cavanaugh in the house. Hey, Jack, appreciate the patience working all this out. Great having you. How we feeling as Sunday approaches?
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the patience with the technical difficulties. You never know how those things are going to work out, but I'm great. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be on the show, and I am happy to be a Detroit Lions fan right now. The run that they have been on is incredible. It truly is a great time to be a Lions fan, and the bandwagon's open. Anyone who wants to jump on ahead of this game against the 49ers, hop on the bandwagon. After that game, though, it's going to be too late to hop on.
Yeah, time is running out. So as a first-time guest, a little background. Just for example, I'm born and raised in North Jersey. I date back to when Namath was the Jets quarterback, Tom Seaver pitched for the Mets, and the Knicks were a championship franchise. So you, Jack, where do you hail from? And kind of let us in, who were the teams and players that first made you kind of fanatical about all this?
So I'm from a small town in Ontario, Canada. I'm about an hour and a half from Detroit, about 15 minutes from Marine City, Michigan. So heavily Lions influenced in this area of Canada. Lots of Lions fans all over the place. And I didn't really start following the NFL until I was at the end of my elementary, early high school career, when I started playing football, fell in love with the sport, and then just wanted to know everything about it. And so first Lions game I ever went to, 2009, Arizona Cardinals, back when Kurt Warner was still there, Anquan Boldin, Larry Fitzgerald, versus the Lions. And Dante Culpepper was the quarterback of the Detroit Lions at that time. He got benched for Drew Stanton during the game, but that was a tough era of Lions football. Got better after that, and then there were some tough years to follow after that before some beautiful years that we're having now.
But growing up there, did you go Wings or Maple Leafs, NHL? Because I think the last time the Wings won the Cup was 2008. So fill us in there.
A trend more towards the Leafs, but not as big into the hockey as I am into the NFL. For me, it was always, as soon as I started playing football back in the day, I just fell in love with it at that point. Hockey, for me, it's just kind of a thing I follow in the background to keep up with it, but it's not as if I have a diehard team like I do here.
All right. Hey, I wanted to get to, you had an awesome conversation with Taylor Decker, the longest tenured Lion who got screwed out of that two-pointer by the refs against the Cowboys. He's kind of unique, a Buckeye in Michigan, but if you would, kind of share what he had to say about kind of that human element and the kind of ride this has been for he and those loyal fans who literally have waited forever.
It was an amazing conversation. Just the entire time, every single word was just filled with passion for this team, for Dan Campbell and what he's brought to this team, the turnaround that has happened under Dan Campbell, kind of stressing that a large part of this change, this turnaround, is Dan Campbell's ability to connect with every single player on the roster, to relate to everyone and get them believing in the same direction. And it's so beautiful in a city of Detroit, Taylor Decker very much stressing the fact that they take pride in playing like a blue-collar football team. Yeah, there's a lot of fancy stuff with Ben Johnson, but at their heart, the offense runs behind the offensive line and runs through the team. And you could just feel how much this means to Taylor Decker, to this team in general, talking about Amon Ross St. Brown dyeing his hair and inspiring patients in palliative care to dye their hair as well. It's just the story, the energy, and the feeling you get, it is truly remarkable. It's unlike anything I've experienced.
Talking with Jack Cavanaugh, Believe in Lions podcast on the Believe Network. You know, obviously I mentioned the Dallas game because at the time that was the difference between the 2 and 3 seed in the NFC. I'm kind of big on ball don't lie. So with Dallas getting clipped by the Packers and the Lions landing here, how much talk has there been about, like, nice try, but Detroit's still standing?
Yeah, we're kind of just taking that as karma's always going to get you in the end. Karma's always going to take care of it. The football gods were looking out for the Detroit Lions, giving them that second home game, which was rightfully theirs, which was stolen by the referees in Dallas. But at this point, it's just kind of in the rearview mirror. After the Cowboys got bounced, it's like, huh, well, that's funny. And you move on. You get excited about that next game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there's no kind of still thinking about it. But next year, if we do have to play Dallas, and in the future when we play Dallas, we will remember. But it's in the rearview mirror for now.
Yeah, karma treats the Lions fairly every, 70 years or so. you do the podcast with Glover Quinn. I know people are familiar with the name, originally drafted by Houston, spent the last six seasons with the Lions. Dude never missed a game, dynamite safety, retired at 32. And the interesting thing was he was like, I'm going to play 10 years and retire. So, kind of share some insight working with a guy who's not only a great player, but kind of getting that view from a guy who just not only has a great outlook on football, but life.
It's been phenomenal getting to work with Glover Quinn. He is just a brilliant football mind, and not even just a football mind, just a brilliant guy in general. He's got so many passions. He's a photographer. He's a framer. He has all this stuff that he does, and just the lessons that you can learn from a guy like that, a guy who just knows so much and has been there at the highest level. So it's not as though you're talking to someone who, he bounced around the NFL. He was there in Detroit. He saw what they were trying to build while he was there, and it ultimately didn't work out, but they did attend two playoff games while Glover was with the team. They were kind of building in the right direction, and ultimately what happened was they decided, this isn't good enough. 9-7 is not good enough. We want to be better. And Glover then got to be part of that down year, that first year with Matt Patricia. So to have that experience ranging across the board, to have the all-pro experience and just know what these guys are going through, even if he doesn't know the players personally all the time, he knows the experience and what it's going through. And it is just something that I cannot express more how thankful I am to get to just soak in that knowledge.
You mentioned Dan Campbell, and you also hit on Ben Johnson, the second-year offensive coordinator, who'd been the tight ends coach. And I want to hit on that because the year before he arrived, the offense is 25th in points, top five his both seasons. What about the upgrade we've seen since he took over the play calling?
It has been truly special, and it actually, funny enough, started with Dan Campbell taking control of the play calling. It just wasn't working with Anthony Lynn, the former Chargers head coach. He was the OC, and so Dan Campbell said, all right, this is enough. I'm going to take over the play calling, and Ben Johnson, you're going to be the one kind of in my ear. We're going to be bouncing things back and forth. And then that next season, there was a big question. Is Dan Campbell going to keep the play calling? Is it going to be Ben Johnson? Made the right decision, handed it over to Ben Johnson. And the success that they have had over the past couple of years in the run game, in the pass game, especially in the play action game with Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown this year, it's why he's getting head coaching attention. It's why he's the favorite to become the next head coach of the Washington Commanders. Thankfully, there's no interviews this week. It was a little bit stressful reading about all the interviews last week. Thankfully, the NFL says, nope, before the conference championship, no interviews. So we get a stress-free week, ultimately knowing we're probably going to end up losing Ben Johnson, but just thanking him for the service.
Yeah, the deal was, look, we've been waiting 3/4 of a century. You guys could wait another 2 weeks. Few final thoughts for Jack Cavanaugh, Believe in Lions, part of the Believe Network. I want to get to Sam Laporta, who set all kinds of rookie records. I know his status is like up in the air. TJ Hockenson was good, got hurt last year, signed that big deal with the Vikings. And that spot was a big question. How do you put in words what his performance has meant this season?
It has been completely game-changing because it's so rare that you see a tight end as a rookie just from day one. He is a three-down tight end. Typically, it's the Dalton Kincaid route with the Buffalo Bills where you've got a guy in line blocking and then he can play kind of the fancy receiving tight end. But from day one, it was Sam Laporta is the guy. And there's no drop-off in his blocking either. It's those Iowa tight ends. They know what they're doing. And so he's not a liability in the run game. In fact, he is an asset there. And that being so good at blocking opens him up in the passing game, because if he fakes in line to block, okay, now he gets a little bit of a free release, and the yards after the catch is so difficult with him to defend. TJ Hawkinson, great tight end. The yards after catch wasn't there the way it is with Sam Laporta. That's his bread and butter. And for a rookie to be making these kind of grown man plays all the time, the sky is the limit for Sam Laporta.
So if you think Lion running backs, you know, obviously the earth defaults to Barry Sanders. I'm old enough to remember if Billy Sims had never been injured, he'd be a big part of the conversation. But David Montgomery and the rookie Jahmyr Gibbs, 2,400 combined yards, 25 touchdowns. I don't know, Jack, if enough people talk about. I mean, this is easily the top 1-2 punch in the NFL.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think the thing that's really underrated with this duo is typically in this kind of situation, you have the bruiser back, which people think of as David Montgomery, and then the lightning back, the Jahmyr Gibbs. That's not really the case here, though, because David Montgomery can get the edge. David Montgomery has breakaway speed, and they can and will use him in the passing game. Whereas Jahmyr Gibbs, you can run him up the middle. It's what we just saw against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how he broke off that game-breaking touchdown. So it's not as though you're even tipping the personnel, okay, Jahmyr Gibbs is in, we're going to pass the ball, David Montgomery, we're going to run. It is just having to defend every single blade of grass, no matter who's in the backfield. It is beautiful to watch, and especially now that Jahmyr Gibbs really broke out in the second half of the season, it is just so dangerous for other teams to defend.
And the last thing I want to get to is now the Motown wave is over. It's on to Santa Clara. Niners are terrific, third best scoring and defensive team in the league. Though they looked vulnerable, had to sneak past Green Bay. Lions, a 7-point road dog. So give me your vision. What needs to happen to push Detroit for that first ever Super Sunday date?
They have to get after Brock Purdy, and they have to limit Christian McCaffrey. And fortunately for the Lions, everyone wants to talk about the defense and all the yards they allow in the passing game, which is absolutely true. But the defensive line of the Detroit Lions does have the advantage against the San Francisco 49ers. We like to think of the 49ers as this dominant offensive line because they have been for so many years. It's just not the case anymore. They've had people retire. They've had people leave in free agency. They still have Trent Williams, an all-world left tackle. But on the right side, Colton McKivitz, that is a matchup that Aiden Hutchinson is going to exploit. Aleem McNeil up the middle facing some veterans that have bounced around the league. That's going to be a tough matchup. And so if they can stop Christian McCaffrey, if they can shut him down, hold him to under 70, 80 yards rushing, that just makes life harder for Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, but when you become a much more one-dimensional offense, I'd much rather have that rather than having to worry Christian McCaffrey's going to run all over us and Brock Purdy's going to dump it over our head because the linebackers are coming up. So I think we get pressure on Brock Purdy. I think they contain Christian McCaffrey. I'm calling a 24-20 victory for the Detroit Lions.
History is on the line, folks. He's Jack Cavanaugh, along with the stud safety. Quinn Glover brings you Believe in Lions, part of the outstanding Believe Network. On Twitter, at Believe Network. For the podcast, at Believe in Lions. For our guest, at JAVANAGH87. Hey, Jack, fun stuff. Terrific information. Enjoy the game. Be well. And I hope we can talk again down the road.
Thank you so much for having me. Truly a pleasure. And go Lions.
All right. Take it easy.